Hello, and welcome to the DebtWired podcast. I am your host, Danielle Saba, senior reporter of DebtWire North America. I'm glad to be joined today by Ryan McConry of GA Group, where he specializes in lending and asset dispositions in New York, New England, and Canada. GA Group works with many household retailers, including Joann Fabrics on its liquidation and Dollar Tree in connection of its sale of Family Dollar. When Ryan is not teeing off on the golf course with his son, gauging the vibe of potential colleges with his daughter, he is immersed in a Ken Follett's nonfiction historical books. Ryan, you have a lot of history with GA Group spanning over the course of two decades. Can you briefly walk us through the history of the firm and its new structure?
Sure. Thank you for having me today, Danielle. Great American Group was founded in the early 70s, primarily as an asset disposition firm for retailers. Through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we conducted a lot of large-scale liquidations. We launched an industrial liquidation practice, and in the late 90s, launched a valuation practice. Our entire history has been predicated upon the understanding of underlying value of assets. The valuation group provides the lending community with an understanding of underlying asset value so they can make proper lending decisions. I started in the early 2000s as an analyst in the valuation practice. I would love to say that I knew exactly what I wanted to be when I grew up, but it was an interesting business to be a part of, and I got to travel the country and learn all different types of business models. Once I moved from operations into lender coverage, sponsor coverage in the late 2008-2009 during the financial crisis, and since have been covering the collective community of which I service in various capacities for both valuation and asset disposition. In 2011, we went public. 2014, we reverse mergered with B. Riley. All of these opportunities were additional capital to help us continue to grow. As we reached and outgrew the B. Riley platform, we have now more recently in the fall partnered with Oaktree as new ownership structure comes in to help us grow for the next 5 to 10 years.
Great. How will the new ownership structure shape the way GA Group does business going forward?
Well, I think it's a marriage of knowledge. We have a database of information that we utilize to help gain financial decisions that we make both as a lender and as a liquidator and as an evaluator of assets. Oaktree has a long history and a plethora of information around investing and lending to all different types of businesses. So that marriage of knowledge will enable us to grow substantially in the coming years.
So what type of loans will GA Group provide to retailers and consumer companies? I mean, what would be its ideal sweet spot for lending?
I think the sweet spot's going to be 20 to 200 million cost of capital in the SOFR 600 range. It can be a FILO, a second lien, stretch unitranche. I think what differentiates us is we have a robust real estate practice. So we have a real good understanding of inventory for sure, but also real estate, intellectual property, accounts receivable, all different types of assets where we believe there's an opportunity to stretch. Really anything that's in the borrowing base, we have an opinion of value on. And if we see an opportunity to provide additional capital to companies, we will do so.
So will it be mostly with FILOs and second lien loans?
Absolutely. Our primary goal is not to compete with our clients. The senior secured structure and that first lien structure is not the business we want to be in. We want to be supportive.
Got it. So essentially, GA Group will be providing retailers with transition financing. I mean, what do you think is driving the need for it?
I always think of the tumultuous times that a retail buyer has had over the last 7 years. From global pandemic to supply chain crisis, that ability to bet on what the consumer was going to do has been challenged by a lot of uncertainty. That is especially relevant now because I think throughout the last 7 years, we had a growing consumer demand. We were all buying stuff. This fall, I think this one's going to be a little bit different, where we might have a little bit of strain on the consumer, where they're going to have to make decisions on whether they buy discretionary items or they look at their essential buys and maybe put those off in order to buy discretionary items for holiday. We were expecting a bit of a wild ride with demand, and I think that makes the buying job even harder. So what happens is if you miss, you're going to really need some additional liquidity to fix the problem, and that's what we're looking to provide.
How much in total does GA Group lend to retail consumer companies? And will it be through a fund?
Under the new ownership, we have access to dedicated capital along with a desire to launch a standalone dedicated fund very soon. We're open to all sectors, but obviously, given our background, we have a plethora of information and knowledge in the retail space.
And then shifting gears, GA Group started as an asset appraisal and disposition firm. Can you walk us through the last 5 years of in asset dispositions and explain the difference of an equity disposition versus a fee-based one?
If we go back at the last 20 years in history, the vast majority of dispositions were equity-based. And what that means is a company would file bankruptcy, the liquidators and advisors would get in a room, and we would bid on the right to sell that inventory as soon as Saturday, if the auction was on a Thursday. It was done that way for a long time. Over the last 5 years, there's been a really big push for fee-based work. And what that means, it's straight fee-for-service. And one of the main reasons why that shifted was as companies started to evaluate their options, the advisor pool was larger. You had a large e-commerce business that you were potentially trying to sell. The outcomes for exit of bankruptcy were more complicated. So a lot of the store closure programs were either partial or not defined at the beginning of bankruptcy. So it was difficult to provide an equity check. Joann's was different in that it was a Chapter 22. Everybody had already vetted the ability to find additional or options around an additional buyer. And so the surety of liquidation was there. In addition, we really understood that asset class. And so we were able to provide an equity check that got the senior secured and the FILO lenders all out and maximize value for the term lenders. So while it was unique in the last 5 year history, our appetite hasn't really changed for equity. We always want to do those, but the situations haven't lent themselves to equity transactions.
With retailers liquidating in court and expected to continue to go this route for the remainder of the year, have the fee-based liquidation fees been shrinking? I hear they have.
There has definitely been downward pressure on the fee structures associated with partial dispositions. A lot of them are threshold-based, so we are incentivized to do better in order to get paid more. I don't see that fee structure changing dramatically going forward, but hopefully it opens the door for some additional equity transactions where there will be surety of outcome for the stakeholders.
Got it. How many retail consumer asset evaluations does GA perform a year, and how many of them are actual liquidations?
Yeah, I think this is an important stat I share with a lot of people. You know, we perform about 1,800 appraisal field exam projects a year. About 350 or so of those are in the retail space. On average, we liquidate between 5 and 15 of those. If you think about it, a lot of this asset-based lending, option, FILO transactions support transitions, and the companies make it. It is not really a lender of last resort. It's an opportunity for transition capital. And I think that's an important designation that, you know, we view the world as not liquidating regularly.
So what is your outlook for retail consumer asset dispositions? Will we see a return to equity-led disposals? Why or why not?
Generally speaking, disposition is countercyclical. So as the economy does bad, liquidations increase. I think the next 5 years we'll have folks, and we have seen folks begin to file bankruptcy and try to figure out what their next step is. The trade war is certainly what people are blaming that on, but a lot of it was underlying store traffic down for B-level malls. And you're seeing that with Claire's. They're mentioning the tariff as a problem, but it hasn't equated to a problem yet. I think the tariff impact is lagging, mostly because it hasn't really been finalized. It takes a while for you to get the inventory. Then you have to turn through the inventory to truly see if there's any margin compression. So it's kind of a wait and see where after this holiday, which will be very telling where consumer demand lies, I think there'll be a lot of folks that need to make proper decisions. The good news is with this administration is that acquisitions are on the table at a large scale. We've seen some very large deals announced recently. I do think there will be options around mergers and options around potentially private equity coming in and supporting these businesses through transition. So I don't think liquidation is the likely outcome, unfortunately for my business. But, you know, we do expect there to be a lot of refitting of your store portfolio in the coming year or two.
Well, Ryan, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for taking the time to share your valuable insights.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of DebtWired. As always, you can subscribe to or download every episode via Apple and find thousands of articles with insights, research, and more from our team at DebtWire.com.